The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That's right, nerds. We are rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice, which means it's time for another Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum, one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. You can watch us on Periscope Live and see how beautiful we are when we actually do it. Sitting across from me, actually across from me for a change.
Here I am.
Joe Patrick.
You act like that's because of me.
No. I mean, it's just, you know, life happens, right?
I got to go watch football.
That's part of life.
Yeah.
Joe Patrick's job is to put the question of the week up on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. There, you can answer them as write as much as you want in your answer. Or you can call us at 402-819-4894, leave a two-minute answer. Or you can email us at twoheadednerd@gmail.com and throw us your MP3 answer once again. Keep it under 2 minutes. Before we get to these answers, Joe Patrick, reset the damn question for me.
This week's question came from casual comics guy Joe Bankus, who asked, what is a character that you are surprised had any legs at all based on being, I don't know, too ultra specific, too tied to a specific time period, just lame in general, a character that should not have made it, but did? They don't have to be like a huge superstar success or anything. But I would say if the character is still around today and appears in comics today, totally counts.
Okay. Man, my answer. I'm rethinking my answer now. Let's get to D. Murray. First one to hit.
I'd say if you would go so far as to say that this character definitely has fans.
Okay.
Right.
Well, one of them is sitting across from me, so then my answer counts. Let's go to D. Murray. He was the first one to hit us. D, take it.
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. I had to think about this one for a bit. I had to do like some actual research on all type of characters. And it took me a while. But I thought to myself, what would it be like to have a character just go into the office of DC and Marvel and it's like, I got this character for you guys. How would you pitch that to someone? You say to yourself, all right, I got this awesome character. He's going to be a superhero, going to be a kid. He eats whatever the hell that's in front of him. Like, whatever it is, he eats it and he can consume it and nothing happens to him.
Matter Eater Lad?
Put a little ring on him, give him the ability to fly.
Matter Eater Lad.
Put some cool shades on him and he's good to go. Jeez. I'm going to call him Matter Eater Lad. That's my answer. The Legionnaire, Matter Eater Lad. It's a dumb idea.
It is a dumb idea.
It's stuck. He's around for a while. He's still around. He's pretty damn cool if you ask me, but that's me talking. That's my answer for you. You guys take it easy.
Joe Patrick, your defense of Matter Eater Lad.
Jesus.
In under 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, I think you can make an argument that Matter Eater Lad does not count as a character that's made it, but he's definitely still around.
I mean, made it in the sense that he didn't instantly get axed because he was too stupid.
Yeah,
I'm saying it counts.
I mean, he's got a very useful power.
I suppose.
I don't know how useful it is when you're on the same team as Superboy. Or a guy whose his entire body is like a nuclear furnace.
Right.
But I love Matter Eater Lad. I think he's great. I think he's ridiculous, obviously.
Yeah.
But
and his premise of course, is pretty stupid.
That's on purpose.
Yeah, I suppose.
He comes from a planet where they just digest anything.
I guess.
Dave.
Do they go to restaurants and eat the tables and crap?
Well, I mean, they're not monsters. They don't like they have specific tastes. It's not like, oh, I can eat this microphone, so I'm going to eat.
Is it illegal
microphone.
To eat your children?
They're not cannibals. But
anything. I would say people fall
they're
under.
They're capable of digesting anything. Look, if you ate a person, you'd digest him.
I guess. I mean, I have trouble with the bones and teeth and stuff.
Yeah.
Matter Eater Lad wouldn't.
Nope.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Nope. Occasional guest host Dave DeMarco and I have had lots of fun conversations about Matter Eater Lad and whether or not if Matter Eater Lad can like bite through the bars of a cage.
Yeah.
Could Matter Eater Lad like bite Superman's hand off?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Dave says yes. And I really want to find a reason to say no, but it's very difficult.
Okay. So lay it on us. Could Matter Eater Lad bite
you heard Superman's it here first.
Hand off?
Matter Eater Lad, more powerful than Superman.
Like, lay it on us. I want to hear you guys. Go to the Lay It On Us forums. Lay it on us.
Thanks, D.
Let's go to the Google Voice line. We haven't heard from this guy for a while.
I thought he was dead.
I think he might be dead. This could be from beyond the grave.
Hey, guys. This is Aaron Myers, THN Love Slave, and occasional, somewhat infrequent co-host of the Comics Therapy Podcast.
We got that right.
Be back someday. Just calling in. So I've got a character pitch for you. Here's my pitch. We've got this toy.
Rom.
That kind of works. It's yeah, really come funky on, Myers. And big and expensive and really funky. And it's this robot guy and weird. And he's got these attachments. But who's going to buy that, right? So how about we make a comic book out of him? And let's get Frank Miller to draw the cover. That works. And we'll get Bill Mantlo to write the origin story for it. And holy crap, this is actually really cool because you got some amazing talent to do a 75-issue run of Rom Space Knight. So it's pretty unlikely that this crappy toy that nobody bought became this series that ran for quite a while and was amazing. And Bill Mantlo was really the one to resurrect that. Sorry, I'm running with the hot dog this morning, too. Anyway.
Did you say he's running with a hot dog?
And I thought you probably saw that coming, right?
Yeah, we did. No, he's running with his dog, not with a hot dog.
I thought maybe that was a saying I didn't know about.
I'm running with my hot dog.
Running with the hot dog.
I don't want to out myself as being this sort of person, even if it was in the past. But when I was in college, Adam Sandler's comedy album came out.
Yeah. They're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you, right. And there was a track on there that was a guy, a host or whatever, playing sound clips for people on the street. And they had to figure out if these people were lifting weights or having sex. And for some reason, that's the first thing that popped into my head when Aaron started talking about Rom. Huffing and puffing and talking about Bill Mantlo.
Like, maybe he was having sex while talking about Bill Mantlo.
Look, I don't know.
Maybe that's the only way he can do it.
He was running. He was exercising.
I get it, man. Whatever works for you, brother. I'm just glad that you found a woman to push up with your weird shit.
Aaron, that's a great call. And of course, a definite example of a character that absolutely should not have survived.
No.
And yet, in comics, just had a life that you could not have seen coming if you only looked at the merchandise that came before.
True that.
Welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back. We missed you. And according to him, Comic Therapy coming back someday.
I hope that's true.
That's not never.
It's my favorite comic book podcast.
It's better than never.
Yeah.
We'll take it when we get it, buddy. Right now, we got to go to Black Scorpion the 3. Our latest sustaining donor.
That's right.
Black Scorpion the 3. Love this guy.
It happened live on the air.
It did.
Nice.
Home movies.
I've got this great idea for a comic. It's going to do amazing. It's a team-up book, right? And we'll just take characters that are already appearing in our top-selling comics. We'll get people from the biggest titles all appearing in one monthly title. Now, who do I have in mind? Well, let's pull some people from Justice League of America. Sound good? You know them. How about from Batman? From Flash? From Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter.
Justice League
International?
I feel
like I'm losing you. Well, let me assure you, I'll throw in some heavy hitters. Energy Blast, sound good. Make Energy Constructs, that sounds good. Teleportation, cool. How about a guy with a rope? Okay. Well, it's a team-up book, so you gotta have some lightweights. But the leaders, they'll really bring down the house. Who have I got? How about a soldier? No, not a super soldier, you know, just a soldier. No powers, no. Okay, he'll have a tough box. Yeah. She'll be way tougher than he is. She'll be really tough. No powers, no. But, you know, you'll just know she's tough. No, she's not going to look like Wonder Woman. No. Not Power Girl either. Well, if you think this is such a bad idea, how come you keep coming back to the Suicide Squad over and over again? Yeah, I guess Ostrander was just that good. Till next time, nerds, I'll be reading stories about a guy in a yellow shirt, somebody with guns on his wrists, a guy with boomerangs, a kung fu fighter, a magician, and some very, very expendable villains.
The Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah, it's a pretty silly idea.
It's a super fun premise, but the characters that they picked were like...
terrible.
Super ridiculous. Yeah.
D-list.
I got a guy with boomerangs, a guy with a rope. Yeah, literally, that's what it is. A guy with... this guy knows kung fu. This guy's got guns.
Yeah, this guy is an army man.
This woman is a sorceress. Well, hold on. Why don't you just have a whole team of them?
Yeah, no doubt. Or get rid of everybody and just have the sorceress whoop ass. I mean, come on.
Well, but the thing is that she's totally crazy.
Yeah. Well, go. I mean, aren't they all?
This guy likes to wear a tiger face.
Sorceress be crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn.
Black Scorpion, thanks for your call.
Always good. I love the home movies music. They're always pitching movie ideas on home movies. So great. I loved that show.
Me too.
BS3, good to hear from you, buddy. We keep abusing Jim Kettner, and he just keeps coming back for more. This guy.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Kettner again. Okay, so look, I've got this new idea for a superhero, and I gotta say, I think he'd be a perfect fit in the Marvel Universe. Imagine, if you will, a spacefaring race on the brink of extinction. Forget Krypton, okay? This isn't just some planetary apocalypse. Their whole freaking galaxy exploded. And their last fleet is hurtling into the void of the cosmos, led by a sentient spaceship, the Scuttlebutt. Their first, last, and only line of defense is the one soul brave enough and tough enough to survive the terrifying genetic splicing experiments that put his mind into the hulking form of a bionic equine beast, granting him tremendous power, but in the Mighty Marvel manner, turning him into a hideous horse-faced monster man.
Yeah!
When the fleet seems to come under the attack of a pagan thunder deity, our hero, the champion of the Corbinites, Beta Ray Bill, actually manages to defeat one of Marvel's toughest characters in a cosmic mano-a-mano fight worthy of Kirby himself. And get this, after defeating Thor, Bill proves himself worthy of Mjolnir and gains the power and costume of Thor. Now you might be like, wait, the bionic alien horse-faced monster man wears that weird circle armor and a pointy-winged helmet and has a magic hammer? And his name is Beta Ray Bill?
And his ship's called
Isn't
the Scuttlebutt?
Excessive? To which I'd say, F*** you, Beta Ray Bill is awesome.
Yeah!
He's so absurd and so grand and over the top. When you see him for the first time, if you don't have your bearings in the world of comics, it's silly. It's naked chrome man on a surfboard silly. But by Odin's beard, it just works. So that's my answer, guys. Beta Ray Bill. Please check out my podcast, Galacticus, on iTunes, and check out my comics and illustrations at ketnerd.com.
Darkest Hour? I can't remember who that is. I know that. I have that record.
I don't know, but it was terrifying.
Ketnerd, always good to hear from you. And from this day forward, you are Jim Ketnerd. There you go, buddy. Ha! Beta Ray Bill! One of my favorite characters.
Pretty good.
I love Beta Ray Bill.
Pretty good.
I don't have a good reason. I don't think anybody does, other than Beta Ray Bill kicks ass. That was fun. Jacob Flaxington. Now, what did you want to be called? The British degenerate?
The British delinquent.
British delinquent.
Jacob.
Did you want to be called the British sex pervert or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, the British sex pervert. Jacob hit us real early, probably because we chastised him for sending in his answer to last week's question 4 days late.
You got with the program. It's all that matters.
Hello, THN. Sorry for being late last week. Won't happen again. Anyway, I'm here to answer the question of the week before it turns 12 o'clock. It's like bloody 4 p.m. here. I hate how far away you guys live. Anyway.
We hate it too.
So, we've got this Batman character. He's all dressed in white. He's also a complete sociopath that's unrelatable.
Asriel.
And treats everyone else like crap. He also throws batarangs that are in the shape of the moon and pilots
Moon Knight.
Ship in the shape of a moon. And he's got his own Alfred ripoff. Oh, and he also hunts werewolves. I am, of course, talking about Moon Knight. Now, the original premise seems very, very silly, but writers like Bendis and who wrote his all-new title?
Wood,
it was Warren
it?
Ellis.
Brian
yes,
Wood?
Of course, Warren Ellis.
Doing it too?
Anyway, I like how he turned from a pulp hero into essentially one of the bloodiest, straightforward heroes we have now. Especially during Civil War, when he's registrating and he's trying to be baited into beating the crap out of his interviewee, but he's keeping it together with all his personalities. Anyway, that's my questions for the week. British delinquent, signing out.
That's a wonderful answer.
Yeah, great answer.
It's like, okay, check it out. He's Batman.
You know Batman,
but
right?
He's crazy.
What if he was nuts and wore white?
Like, well, Batman's already crazy. No, I mean really crazy.
What if he had a butler, but instead of being British, he was French?
And maybe gay.
Oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
Frenchie is totally gay.
Yeah, but he wasn't. They didn't come right out and admit it at
first. Probably didn't.
They insinuated it.
Great answer. And hey, thanks for minding the deadline.
Yeah. Thank
you. Sorry we teased you a little
bit. No, we said, you know, sometimes we're going to jab these guys a little, but they get it, and that's great. Moon Knight. I love it, and I love Moon Knight, and again, I will say, nobody has a good reason to love Moon Knight. Oh, look at this. It is the proud return of Camarillo Brillo.
Hey, Fred and Ethel. This is longtime caller, first-time listener Camarillo Brillo, calling in with the concept that works in spite of itself in comic books. Has to be Silver Surfer. Everything about that smacks like trying to monopolize on a teen fad or pop culture fad that was already kind of on its way out. America's love affair with surfing and the California culture was already dying in place of some of the other movements that were taking over the youth, such as, you know, the hippie scene and being sent off to die at the Vietnam War. So along comes this Silver Surfer who can travel the space waves with a magical surfboard, which makes zero sense. It'd be like in the 90s if they had the Mystic Skater who had a giant Tony Hawk skateboard that was imbued with the power cosmic or something. It was just ridiculous.
Or like,
you know,
the power to swim underwater.
Bike, a drag car, a hot rod, anything. But somehow it works. It's super cool. He looks great on it. I love the fluid movement that he does through the stars and that whole idea that somehow he's like surfing through, you know, the universe. It's just incredibly awesome. And it makes for some really cool art too. And it's something we should be laughing our asses off when we look at it, but somehow it works. And I love it. So there you go. Silver Surfer.
I think Cameron Little brings up a cool point. There are things that we very much take for granted. Those of us that are the initiated nerds like us, who look at, like, the Silver Surfer. Doesn't bother us. Doesn't bother us at all.
I'm right on board.
He's in a surfboard in space. He's flying around. I showed it to my wife. She's going to be like, what? Like, why does he need a f***ing surfboard?
I think.
And if you have the power cosmic, you can fly. You don't need something to fly with.
No.
You just fly around.
Yeah, that's true.
The Silver Surfer seems, I think, and I may, correct me if I'm wrong, lay it on me if I'm wrong, is the only one of Galactus's heralds with the power cosmic that uses something to fly around. Can he fly on his own?
I think he can levitate.
He can kind of levitate and the board comes to him. Then he like whoosh, takes off.
Yeah. I think I've seen comics where he kind of floats himself up, but I've never seen him like Superman fly.
Straight up fly.
I think that the Silver Surfer gets a lot of slack because when they draw him, he's very rarely ever like hunched down with his arms out like he's hanging 10. Right? They have him like standing up regally, you know, kind of just like
on the edge of the board, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of just kind of it's a neat visual.
But Kirby drew him straight up surfing.
Right.
Like, you know, riding the pipeline. Great call, Camarillo. Good to hear from you.
Perfect answer.
Much more attractive than that Carl Smith guy. Camarillo Brillo, let me tell you. Love that guy. Back to the Google Voice line.
Hey, Joe and Matt, Jeff Hitt here, and I'm calling with this week's answer of the week. And so I have a pitch for you guys for a boffo, whammo, just the hypiest of hype characters
ever. Nice use
ever.
Of boffo.
What we're going to do is we're going to take this incredibly geek-ass nerd who nobody likes. He's a freaking orphan. And then we're going to go ahead.
Spider-Man.
And we're going to give him these like really freaky, weird, scary powers. And then we're going to make him this like complete loser that where nothing will ever go right for him. Every time he takes one step forward,
Charlie Brown,
two steps back, we're going to put him in a freaking sock that he has to sew himself. And then we're going to make him the responsible for the death of the person who loves him more than anyone else in the whole world. And then we're going to make him a total jackass. Every time someone does something nice for him or kind to him, he's going to just kind of be all jerky about it. He's going to leave all of his girlfriends and all of his family members hanging whenever they need him. And he's going to whine a lot. But, you know, to make up some of that, we're going to make him super smart, super agile, super strong, super fast. And we're going to make him really funny. I mean, like, funny. Like, funnier than any comic character ever had been before. And probably ever will be since. And to make him even better, we're going to give him, and I'm calling it here, the best rogues gallery in comic books.
Ooh.
So that's my
controversial.
And I'm going to call him, Bugface or Spider-Man. Yeah, I think Spider-Man sounds better. There you go, guys. Good luck.
Go with Bugface. Trust me on this one. It'll sell way better.
The Google transcript thinks he said face.
We're going to call him Face. No. Stay with me here.
Yeah, of course. Spider-Man on paper, especially at the time.
Totally ridiculous.
Should not have worked.
No.
Yeah, like, I've got a character. He's not super confident. He's not like a beefy Charles Atlas kind of dude.
He was the antithesis of every other hero.
Dork. And he's not very good at it.
Yeah.
And he's got scary bug powers.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have happened.
No way. Absolutely not. And like, but somehow everyone in the world knows who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. That's a great call.
Whenever people start badmouthing Stanley, just remember he wasn't all bad.
No, he wasn't all bad. Take away all the super stuff that Spidey has. Spidey's, you know, climbing walls, stuff like that. And I think the reason everybody liked him, because he's just like you and me.
Yeah, that was absolutely the draw.
He's a loser. He's just like you and me. Let's head up north, the wilds of Maine, visit our friend, the Orca.
This is how the Orca imagines it when in the writer's room, which used to be cluttered with pizza boxes and beanbag chairs and talent and reeked of bong water, but now it's full of stuffed shirts speculating on market share. Okay, so what we really need to recognize is that this event presents another opportunity to appeal to the female audience. I know we just turned Thor into a chick, and we have plans to turn... Wait, who's the little furry one with the claws again? You know, Hugh Jackman? Wolverine, sir. Right. I always want to call him Ferret. So anyway, the focus groups say that we need to keep on this, and it should make a difference to the mouse's bottom line. What do we have for ideas? Okay, we have several. First up, Dan had an idea that maybe there was another chick the whole time, but she was trapped in a bunker or something. She's just like Peter. Who's Peter? Spider-Man, sir. Right, okay. So she's been in the bunker, and it's a catfish out water story, and what's she look like? And what do we call her? She's pretty, but not too pretty. Dark hair, darker complexion.
Silk. Ooh,
we like that. Numbers say we need more diversity, like the Muslim babe we got going. We want to call her Silk. Perfect. We still need to keep the fuzzy palm nerds happy. Can we make her like super horny? Super horny, sir? Like as a power set? No, just like maybe she and Spider-Man have sex a lot. Okay, maybe. That kind of conflicts with the whole appealing to females thing. Might objectify her? That's okay. We'll just make it up somehow. Maybe we take another third-tier character and do a whole single mother angle or something. What else do we have? Well, we have an idea to bring back an old character from the Bronze Age. What's that, like Caesar's time? No, it refers to the comics in the 70s and early 80s. Oh, nice. So she'll be like full-on Bush? Good. Liberal chicks love that. No, sir. She's a character from when we'll use the Spider-Verse to pull her into a modern setting. She's just from back then. She's Peter's old girlfriend. It's comic sacrilege, but look at these preliminary sketches. Ooh, she's cute and blonde, which plays well with the other one, the darker-haired one. What will you call her? Still working on that. Her real name is Gwen Stacy. Okay, then call her Spider-Gwen. Really, sir? Yep, done. And remember, keep their boobies small. The age of big boobies is over, even if those assholes across the street don't know it. Have you seen Power Girl? Huh. My daughter says that the huge-titted ones intimidate her, make her feel inferior. Keep them perky for the nerds. Maybe a little nip action, but small, like yours. Sir? Kiss, kiss, sugar tits. Now, what are you doing this evening?
That was wonderful.
That just really went off.
So he threw in two, Silk and Spider-Gwen.
Well, I think Spider-Gwen is his actual answer. He was working through all of the other ridiculous attempts to capture this female Spider-Man audience.
I do love the evil corporate overlord guy.
The somebody at Marvel is just like Mel Gibson in a suit.
It's like Peter's girlfriend. Who's Peter again? Spider-Man, sir. Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Very good answers all around. Maybe a little flippant.
Sure.
But, you know, who knows? I would like to think that they're diversifying to diversify, but maybe, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the point he was making is they're just creating derivatives.
Yeah, female spider people.
Like, I liked the Silk book. I thought the Silk book was good.
It's perfectly well written. Do we need a Silk run around?
I don't care about Silk as a character.
I don't either. We've already got Spider-Woman. And now we have Silk and Spider-Gwen, which, come on.
Spider-Gwen, I'm just going to say this. I don't like Spider-Gwen.
I fell out of love with her very, very quickly.
I couldn't get into the comic.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy was not an interesting character.
No, Gwen Stacy was a plot device.
Well, it's not even that. Like, she was in the comics for years, so it's not like they created her just to kill her.
But she's most famous for being a plot device.
The most interesting thing about her is that she died.
Yes.
While she was alive, no one gave a shit.
No. We all wanted him to be with Mary Jane.
Least of all, the writers of Spider-Man.
Right, and I like Mary Jane. I love Mary Jane. I want Spider-Man with Mary Jane right now.
Yes. And so to bring her back, all you're doing is rehashing the same I couldn't save you, Gwen, lost love bullshit that they've done 1,000 times before. Is it cool to have a female character, young, kicking ass in comics?
Absolutely.
Yes, totally.
Totally.
Spider-Gwen is dumb.
I agree. With you.
There. Thanks, Orca.
Okay, Tim. We're giving you one more chance.
Speaking of women, it's Tim Benson.
We got one more chance for you here, Tim. Let's see what you got, buddy. You can do this. I believe in you.
Hey, Nerdhead 2. I got this great idea. Superhero, right? Super, super strong. Like, strongest thing you've ever imagined, right? Wouldn't that be great? He runs around, he solves, you know, mysteries and, you know, prevents crime and saves the day and stops floods, right? Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, Nerdhead 1, is that it? Is that all? He's just strong? We've got strong superheroes. Nobody's going to buy another strong superhero. Wait, that's not all he can do, Nerdhead 2. He can shoot laser beams out of his eyes. Oh, you mean like that other guy? Yeah. But he can also fly and jump and soar and leap and move. Oh, he's fast, too. Yeah, he's fast. Oh, yeah. Okay. And he can breathe underwater? Oh, wow. We got something on our hands here.
Superman.
What can't he do? Oh, no. He can do everything. He can see through stuff. He can carry people at super fast speeds. If he flies around the Earth fast enough,
Superman.
He can go back in time. And, I mean, what he can do everything. But he can't see through lead, right? Yeah, I mean, we got to draw the line somewhere. He can't see through lead. And he's an alien, right? Well, of course he's an alien. What isn't an alien? Superheroes have to be aliens. Oh, we got something on our hands, right? Oh, man, this is going to be fun.
Superman.
I love that he didn't actually say it. When he's...
First, Tim Benson. You did it!
You did it, Tim!
You did it!
Woo! When he said, is he strong? Can he fly? Oh, yeah. Oh, he shoots lasers out of his eyes. Yeah, just like the other guy. I thought the other guy was Superman.
Oh, gotcha.
So where I thought he was going was Martian Manhunter.
Right.
Who on paper is, he's Superman.
Yeah.
But he can also turn into a...
He's Superman. If Superman was Shadow Cat and could change into any shape that you wanted. You
know? Right. But still, Tim, I mean, Superman, at the time... Probably unthinkable.
Yeah.
He's from another planet, raises a human.
Right.
He can do all this crazy stuff, and he uses it to fight corrupt mob union bosses. And the people at DC were like, Yeah, okay. Here's $200. We'll take him.
Yeah.
$200? Right, you gotta be kidding me. We're rich. Come on, Jerry. Let's go get wasted.
Why does Joe Shuster sound like Cameron pretending to be Sloan's dad in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
That's more like $200.
Rudy! I want my daughter outside alone in 10 minutes.
Great answer, Tim.
Good
you
job, buddy.
I'm proud of you. Thank you so much. Now, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, I think he has an answer that you might have already heard.
That's okay. They don't know that.
That's fine.
Sup, nerds? Anthony currently from Brooklyn here. And I'm going to go with a character that I freaking hated as a kid, but love now as an adult. Here's the pitch. Phenomenally powerful cosmic being, covered head to toe in silver, mostly naked, soars through space on a surfboard.
Mostly naked.
That's kind of dumb. Like, just like as a kid, I was like, this guy sucks so much. And I could not accept that the Silver Surfer could go toe to toe with Thor and the Hulk. And he talked so much. Like, I didn't understand his appeal at all. And if you think about the character objectively, like, you know, he had his greatest popularity in the early 1960s during the psychedelic drug culture. That totally makes sense. And plus, I mean, the idea of the character is based on a fad, surfing, which had its greatest popularity in the late 50s and early 60s. So just from that,
exactly what
this character should not have endured. Shouldn't. But because Jack Kirby was a genius, he has. And I love the Silver Surfer now. I think he's great. But the idea is completely wacky. So there you go. Silver Surfer. Thanks, Jack.
I love it.
Tony, we heard it before, but you said it just as well, man. That was great. Totally yeah, agree.
It's absolute truth. Silver Surfer is really stupid.
No reason why he should be around.
I love him.
And guess what? The music to Harvey Locust's call is from the Butthole Surfers. Where do you think this is going?
Hey nerds, Locust here, MP3 and in my answer to the question of the week. So here's the pitch, and I can't believe it has flown off the shelves. We get a real asshole of a Canadian who thinks he's God's gift to women. We put him in a video game-ish type world, even though he doesn't really have any powers, he kind of does. It won't make any sense whatsoever. He'll be screwing a girl in high school and some other chick. And yeah, oh, and don't forget he's in a band. How quaint. If you haven't put it two and two together yet, I'm talking about Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
I can't stand the crap, and yeah. Oh, I also forgot to add, let's draw it in a really crappy manga style where everybody has square fingers. Yeah, screw Scott Pilgrim, and that's the pitch that I can't believe has still lasted, even made it into a movie. Heaven help me. Later, guys.
Harvey, I think just to put it generously, that is probably not a very popular opinion.
Yeah. I know Joe and I both very much love Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
But he's right. Like, if you imagine pitching that. Pitching Scott Pilgrim.
But here's the thing to consider. Brian Lee O'Malley wasn't pitching Scott Pilgrim.
No, I know.
He made a graphic novel.
I get it, but that's not the point.
He wasn't trying to sell an idea. He just made something.
Everybody's walking into our office and pitching us a character.
No, I get it.
What do you say to that? You go, that sounds terrible. I am not interested at all.
But see, I don't agree. I don't agree that it sounds terrible. Well, especially when you're talking about the audience, right? The audience and the publisher, Oni Press, well, it's all about that kind of quirky relationship weirdness.
Oh, no, I'll give you that. But I'm just saying, on paper, pitched like that, it does not come off as something that will succeed at all. With that said, it did because it was so well done. It was wonderful. I love Scott Pilgrim. Harv, I appreciate your call. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate it.
Harvey said the music this week is by the Butthole Surfers. The name of the song is Edgar.
Ah.
See if you can get the connection.
I get it.
Edgar Wright made the Scott Pilgrim movie.
There you go. There you go. Go to our favorite mom that reads comics, Charming Red herself.
Hey, boys, it's at Charming Red here, the mom who reads comics from Twitter, with my third answer to one of your questions of the week.
Babouche.
I love it.
All right, it's not really a hard one to guess. She is a computer science major with the proportional speed and strength of a squirrel, who also has the ability to talk to squirrels. Not only has she taken down some of the biggest heavy hitter villains in the Marvel Universe, but she hangs out with a roommate who is obsessed with cats, one specifically named after Pokemon characters. She also runs around with some fellow classmates who have some unique and odd superpowers of their own, like talking to fish and chipmunks. And at one point, she may have actually had an affair with Wolverine when she was like 14, but everybody ignores that part of the continuity and never addresses it. Of course, I'm talking about Doreen Green, the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. This book should have just fallen flat the second it was announced, and instead it is absolutely skyrocketed. Ryan North and Erica Henderson are completely brilliant. From little jokes within the gutters and the self-awareness breaking the fourth wall, having her befriend villains instead of completely beating them up every single time she sees them, it is just so funny and brilliant. Kids of all ages, from 4, 5, and 6, up to those approaching their midlife crisis, can appreciate this story. Awesome question this week, guys. Thanks so much. And don't forget to have everybody check out innercirclecomics.com.
There you go. Little beatable squirrel girl.
Little plug for the podcast group there.
There
I love
you
it.
Go. Red, always nice to hear from you. Squirrel Girl.
I love that she's a regular now.
It is one of the worst premises I can think of.
They had to have done that original Squirrel Girl comic in the 90s as a joke.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then Dan Slott, man.
Picked up the ball and ran with it.
He said, I got this.
Yeah.
We're going to put her in the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Along with Flat Man, Bouncing Betty.
No, Big Bertha.
Big Bertha.
Doorman. Dinosaur.
That's right.
Mr. Immortal. Flatman, I believe, is the other guy's name.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Joe Patrick also just named the Great Lakes Avengers.
Grasshopper. There was a character named Grasshopper that kept dying. And then I think getting replaced by other people taking up the mantle. Yeah. It's Squirrel Girl. I cannot deny that they have taken a garbage idea and done something wonderful with it.
It really is great. And on paper, pretty silly.
She's in New Avengers this week. Super fun.
There you go. Let's go back to Google Voice Line for our final call.
Hi, I'm David Robbins. Joel, Matt, thanks for taking this meeting. I really appreciate it. listen, I know you guys are having fun playing in the X world, and I think I got something I can help you out there. So we're here at the turn of the millennium, and you know, things have been shaken up for the X-Men. We've got the X-Men Legacy. We got the Uncanny X-Men. We got regular X-Men. All these X-Books. But the long and short of it is Xavier's got a school. And at a school, we need students. So let's make a new student that the alt kids can kind of get into. Now, let's make them a male so that the alt guys can have somebody they can sort of identify with. And the girls might have somebody they could find enigmatic or interesting, or, you know, somebody they can be interested in.
Quentin Quire.
Let's give him an attitude problem. That's let's make him a psychic.
Quentin
so
Quire.
That you know, he can be scrawny. He doesn't have to be well built like Colossus or anybody like that. He can have powers of the mind, and that way, you know, the greatest superpower is your mind, and people can develop that. You know, the alt kids kind of really dig that. Now, we need to give him an interesting look. Let's give him a half-shaved head and pink hair. How about, oh, wait, we got somebody like that. Oh, yeah, Quentin Quire. Really, how is that character still around? I mean, I like what they've done with it, and, you know, fun issues like Wolverine taking him gambling in space. But tell me the truth. When you saw that character pop up, did anyone think he'd be around more than a decade later? Take it easy, guys. I'll talk to you on the next one. Later.
Okay, to be fair, I did like that when Grant Morrison introduced us to Quentin Quire, he was kind of the first real asshole, jerk, mutant kid we'd met. And most kids that age are kind of assholes and jerks. Like, he thought he was and, like, nobody could stop him, and he was super powerful, and why does he have to put up with this crap? Like, he had a real attitude problem. I liked him. He was very believable.
You know, it took me a while to warm up to the character, especially because at first he was essentially a villain.
Yeah.
And then they kind of turned him into a hero with just a terrible attitude.
Yeah. And in the future, he becomes Quentin Quantum or.
Yeah, he's an
Quantum
Avenger.
Quantum Quentin or something. Yeah.
In the future.
He's awesome.
I think he becomes the Phoenix.
With that said, we don't. Nobody else needs to be writing him. I think since Grant Morrison wrote him, I never found him real interesting again.
Oh, I
the
no,
future thing was
kind of neat.
The future thing was kind of fun.
I enjoyed stories where he was around, but
yeah, okay. I'll say in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah, Jason Aaron did a good job.
Jason
with
Aaron had some fun with him. Yeah,
but yeah, really, he's just an irritating character.
9 times out of 10, he's a prick.
And yet people were like, yep, I like that guy.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Because you jerks demand it, we will now pick our favorite call.
You know what? I think I'm giving my favorite call award to Ketnerd.
Me too.
Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, dude. Because he got so impassioned about Beta Ray Bill that instead of like really delving into why the character is so great, he went, "F you, Beta Ray Bill's awesome." Which is one of my favorite arguing devices. I loved it.
I will say that I did love the Orca's pitch meeting.
That was great.
Spider-Man, sir.
And I did like that David Robbins addressed us directly, like he was pitching the idea right, to us. Yeah. That was fun. I will say, I think the most ridiculous on this list would be Charming Red Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. 100%.
Far and away.
100%.
Far and away. Can't believe that that's still around. So let's get into us.
Go for it, because I'm still, my wheels are still turning.
Okay. Okay, here's my pitch. Everybody loves X-Ladies. Am I right?
Yeah.
We feature on covers all the time. They're super hot. They're super sexy. They wear spandex. They run around. They're badasses. Now, this is an X-Lady, right? Has a very specific power. But more important than her power, she's already super famous, right? She's a roller skating disco queen with the ability to turn sound into light. What that means, I don't know.
It's up for the nerds to figure
because
out.
Because she's never fired lasers or done anything badass with it.
She's fired lasers.
Not really. She just kind of sparkles and shines.
She fires lasers.
I mean, like, there was a thing, like, I was like, okay, Dazzler. Obviously, I'm talking about the Dazzler.
Have you ever played the X-Men video game where she's like,
pew! Okay, that's the video game. When was the time in comics we remembered her, like, firing a laser that like punched through something or
she
melted
fired
something.
Lasers all the time.
I don't remember her.
Yeah,
doing...
she'd make a, like a little gun hand and pew, a laser would shoot right out of it.
Yeah, but it was always like, oh, I'm blind. You know, it was never
no.
like she never like punched a hole in a guy.
You're
or
not
anything.
Paying attention. You weren't paying attention.
The Dazzler was so dumb on paper.
I mean,
I love Dazzler.
Okay, a character that's tied to such a specific time frame.
Everybody was like freaking out about surfing and the Silver Surfer. This was a disco hero
on roller skates.
Yeah. Come on.
But Marvel has done
this
a great
right about the time the Kiss ventured into the world of disco too. Like, ugh.
But Marvel has done a great job taking that idea, that ridiculous that ridiculousness, and running with it by painting her as a like a washed up you know, it's like
washed up rock star and stuff.
My mom had your record.
There was a moment there where she was like a Sheryl Crow type character. It was terrible.
And it sounds like a Chuck Austin thing.
No, it wasn't Chuck Austin. It wasn't too long ago. I can't remember what relaunch she was a part of, but she like showed up with like a cowboy hat on or a guitar on her back. And I was just like, what is this bullshit? It was so bad.
But that totally fits in with the idea of Dazzler as a washed up star that's constantly trying to reinvent herself to seem relevant.
Yes. And I do love Dazzler, and you're right, but it wasn't until like the 80s until we like saw her firing lasers out of her fingers.
It was
in
the Silvestri run where she ditches the disco outfit and she wears this actual superhero costume.
Yeah, and she actually got kind of badass. Runs around with the X-Men. But before that, it was just like, pew, 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 sparkles. It was so dumb.
And she was Disco Jubilee.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah, then we got Jubilee, who essentially kind of does the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't turn sound into light, but yeah, she just generates a light show.
And she's a vampire.
Also a vampire, yeah.
All right, your turn.
Okay, picture this. I've got a guy. You know how popular Batman is, right?
Sure, I heard of him. Yeah.
Normal dude that fights crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of stands shoulder to shoulder with Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Sure, sure, sure. He's super because he's rich.
Yeah, his superpowers that he's rich. Yeah. So, but I mean, not the rich thing so much, but like, you know, it's just the whole idea of like normal dude, you could do this too. This is Batman, the hero that could be you.
Sure.
Right.
If you're a billionaire.
Enough hard work, enough moxie, and you could be this guy. So I've got a guy.
Okay.
He's like Batman. He's okay. Normal.
He's like Batman.
But. Get this.
Okay. You're stalling.
I'm not. I'm pausing for a dramatic effect.
Okay.
Get this.
Okay.
He shoots a bow and arrow.
Green Arrow.
No, 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 no. Green Arrow's the other guy.
Oh!
I'm saying we look at Green Arrow.
Oh.
And we do our own Green Arrow.
Oh. What color does he wear?
Purple.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
We can call him Purple Arrow, but maybe not. I mean,
that's a little on the nose, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know. And
what about Bullseye? Bullseye.
Oh,
perfect.
That's taken.
Ah, shit.
But like we can work in the circus motif like they did with Batman, like with Robin, right? Steal that circus thing.
It's all there.
Put it into this guy.
It's all there.
So Hawkeye is a copy of a character that was already a copy of a character.
Oh yeah.
Green Arrow was Batman, but with bow
basically,
and arrow.
The bow and arrow.
He had an arrow car.
Yep.
He had an arrow cave.
Yep.
He had an aeroplane.
Hey-o!
And Marvel said, you know what we need? We need one of those.
Absolutely.
And we're going to put him on the Avengers.
And he's one of our favorite Avengers.
Yeah, he's like, he's the best. Hawkeye is the best.
Should have never succeeded. So dumb.
I mean, it's such a blatant ripoff.
Absolutely.
What's more, in 20 years... when he's super popular, we can give him a girlfriend. It'll be Black Canary, but we'll call her something different.
Like what? What do you think?
I don't know. Something else bird related.
Okay. Like Jayhawk.
Yeah. Like Jayhawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jayhawk.
Yeah. Or no, that sounds too tough. What about something like Mockingbird?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
This was great. I had a lot of fun with this one. I can't believe anyone didn't go for Deadpool. Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson.
That was a joke on purpose,
I mean,
though.
Yeah, but still.
That was intended to be funny.
I don't know if it was.
It definitely was.
Rob Liefeld is an especially uncreative guy.
But he said that Deathstroke, the Terminator, was an absolute influence on Deadpool's creation.
Okay, of course. This is a great one. We have got another question, though, that's up right now.
Yeah, we do.
Joey, tell him what it is.
This week's question comes from D. Murray, who wants to know, what comic do you think doesn't deserve the praise that it gets from critics and fans?
Okay.
So a comic that you just don't see the appeal of like everybody else.
I dig it.
Everyone thinks it's the greatest thing on earth. And you're like, I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Or I hate it.
Maybe oh, yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, maybe you just hate it.
Yep.
That's fine. Can't wait to hear from you.
BK006, it's your time to shine.
Keeps threatening to call. Never does. There's got to be a comic that you're pissed off about that
you
everybody loves.
Everyone started out as a first-time long-time.
It's true.
R.I.P. I hope he's not really dead.
I hope he's not really dead either. That guy was funny. Thanks to everybody that called. Seriously, guys, it's your show. Call in. You're thinking about calling in? Just do it. We want to hear from you. It's fun for us. It's fun for you. You could be internet famous just like Joe and I. Let me tell you, the money, the sex, the power, it's overwhelming. My God. We will have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast hitting this weekend. Our petulant and sometimes downright rogue AI Alec Baldwin program is going to tell you how to get a hold of us so you can play along too. Call us, nerds. We want to hear from you. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
I'm just going to say it. Kiss sucks. I don't buy this ironic hipster kiss rebirth bullshit. They were and still are a terrible band. Did you know Matt was a member of the Kiss Army as a child? What a dork. And Kiss is probably too scary for that defenseless man-child Joe. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Remember, keep your answer under 2 minutes, or the little Prince of Napoleon complexes will cut you off. Seriously, though. Kiss Disco. Really.